president's tougher tone on Putin.
As the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
The Russian woman accused of being an agent.
Who offered sex in exchange for a job where she could influence U.S. policy.
Was it a shark in the water?
I saw, like, a fin, and, like, my leg was all bloody.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Indeed.com.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. President Trump tells CBS News he confronted Vladimir Putin about election meddling in their closed-door one-on-one meeting in Helsinki. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy says it's his latest characterization after coming under fire for not doing that when he was standing side by side with the Russian leader.
On Monday, the president declined to confront Vladimir Putin, but he now tells CBS's Jeff Glor he holds the Russian president personally responsible for election meddling.
Certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
Having revised the widely criticized remarks he made in Helsinki, Mr. Trump now says he believes it's true that Russia meddled. And the president says he warned Putin not to do it again.
I let him know we can't have this, we're not going to have it, and that's the way it's going to be.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, the White House.
Mr. Trump told Jeff Glor there's plenty of evidence he's turned up the heat on the Kremlin.
I did great at the news conference. I think it was a strong news conference. Okay, nobody's been as tough with Putin as I have. You look at all of the other things that I've done with respect to Russia that nobody else has done, including sanctions, the biggest sanctions ever imposed on Russia.
At a cabinet meeting, President Trump appeared to say no when asked if Russia was continuing efforts to meddle in the U.S. political process. The White House says the no was about answering more questions, but the president did go on to talk more about Russia. In a Colorado speech last night, FBI Director Christopher Wray said he believes Moscow is still using covert operations to spin up Americans on key political issues to promote discord. And CBS's Major Garrett says the White House and State Department seem to be at odds over a Russian offer to allow the U.S. to question Russians accused of meddling if the Kremlin can interview Americans accused of unspecified crimes.
The administration, through Sarah Sanders at the podium, said it's just an idea that they threw out. Nothing has been committed to, and they're reviewing it. Trying to step back from what the president said in Helsinki was, it's an incredible offer and an interesting idea. I guarantee you, within the intelligence community, it's not regarded as either. The U.S. intelligence does not want to put itself and the Russians on a morally equivalent plane.
On Twitter, former U.S. ambassador to Russia Michael McFaul called the Putin offer ridiculous and urged the White House to denounce it. Russian embassy officials plan to meet today with a 29-year-old Siberian woman accused of spying in this country. Maria Butina denies wrongdoing. CBS's Paula Reed says prosecutors say sex and deception were used to make connections.
Butina came here on a student visa in 2016, but the Justice Department alleges she took steps to develop relationships with American politicians in order to advance the interests of the Russian Federation. Investigators allege Butina had an ongoing relationship with a 56-year-old political operative strictly for business purposes.
A British report says authorities believe they've identified the suspects who carried out the poison attacks on a former Russian double agent and his daughter. CBS's Roxana Sabiri in London.
The press association is quoting a source saying that British investigators identified the suspects by looking through CCTV video, and that they also cross-checked that with records of people who entered the UK at the time. The source said the investigators are sure that the suspects are Russian.
Moscow's denied involvement in the attack. Both victims recovered. Facebook says it'll start removing misinformation that could lead to violence. It's a response to incidents overseas that have prompted attacks on ethnic minorities. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg tells the website Recode that he finds Holocaust denial offensive, but he says he will not ban that content from the site. Along New York's Fire Island, they're deciding whether or not to reopen the beaches today after two kids suffered apparent bite wounds in the water that may have been caused by sharks. 12-year-old Lola Polina ended up with a bandaged right leg.
And I saw something like next to me and I kind of felt pain. And I looked and I saw like a fin kind of. I don't know how to describe it.
What appeared to be a shark's tooth was pulled from a 13-year-old boy's right leg. The incidents happened nearly 5 miles apart. A TV awards show known for showing off the sports world's style and swagger, the ESPYs, took time last night to honor heroes and victims. Here's CBS's Peter King.
The honors for best coaches went to three men killed trying to protect students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High in Parkland, Florida.
Please welcome the families of Scott Beagle, Aaron Feiss, and Chris Hickson.
Their fellow coach Elliot Bonner wanted to stay away from politics.
But the issue of gun violence isn't a political issue. It's a human issue.
ESPN presented its Arthur Ashe Award for Courage to 140 survivors who were sexually abused by former Michigan athletic Dr. Larry Nassar. Sarah Klein was his first known victim.
For 30 years, people at the United States Olympic Committee, USA Gymnastics, and Michigan State University all placed money and medals above the safety of child athletes.
Peter King, CBS News.
In one of his signature movie roles, the late Robin Williams played a disc jockey during wartime.
Good morning, Vietnam!
A Virginia newspaper obituary indicates the real-life inspiration for the role. Adrian Cronauer has died at 79. He was a U.S. Air Force sergeant who pitched his story as a sitcom. Filmmakers reworked the idea years later. Milestone moment for Billy Joel last night in New York. He played his 100th show at Madison Square Garden. Bruce Springsteen showed up to join in on two songs. And fans love every minute.
It's an event. I mean, this is a lifetime event for him and for us.
Oh, it's an electric moment. I didn't even know it was the 100th show until we got here, but I'm ecstatic about it for sure.
Billy Joel's been an artist in residence at the Garden, performing monthly for the past few years. Action in Israel has created new disagreement in the Middle East, as we hear from Jerusalem correspondent Robert Berger.
Israel's parliament approved a new law that defines the country as the nation-state of the Jewish people. Israeli Arabs, like legislator Ahmed Tibi, say it's racist.
The nationality bill is a hate crime. They are totally discriminating against the Arab citizens.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu described the law as a historic moment in the history of Zionism. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
After first saying no, North Carolina's Motor Vehicle Department has approved a specialty license plate for a woman who wanted to honor her wife. The shorthand letters would read, "Lesbians in Love." The head of the DMV said it was a mistake to turn down the request. The woman threatened legal action. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.